Well, we read in John chapter 9. Let's go back to John chapter 9. And we'll try and just cover the chapter and think about what it's saying. Jesus, in verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." I wonder what Jesus meant by that. The blind will see, and those who see will become blind. So we've been thinking about what we know in the last few weeks. What do I know about the world? What do I know about other people? What do I know about myself? What do I know about God? That's coming up. And we're thinking today about what do we know about ourselves? And how well do we know ourselves? How well do we really understand how we work and what makes us tick? Do we know why we thought the answer was a pound? What's going on in our minds? And in this chapter, one of the themes is that very thing. How well do we know ourselves? Are we blind to ourselves? And are we blind in important ways to Jesus and to God? Or do we see? You know, which one of the two are we according to Jesus' words? Are we the blind who will see? Or are we those who see who become blind? Now, we've already seen how little we know. As we've been thinking about this, we've got this little candle of consciousness in our heads, and we look out from it through our little eyes and our few other senses, and we realise we actually don't really get very much information from that. And we know very little as a result. And also, looking in ourselves often, well, we don't often even do that, and we know very little sometimes about what makes us tick. And that can be a problem in our thinking. And it can get us into trouble. It can cause trouble for others around us if we jump to conclusions that are wrong conclusions. If we then, in our pride, stick to those conclusions, even when we begin to see that they're wrong, then, you know, that really can be an issue. And often we do that. So this story helps us to understand what I'm talking about here. It's about Jesus, and it's about the opinions people have about Jesus. So Jesus is there at the center of the story. There's the Pharisees, and they have different opinions, actually. There are different groups within the Pharisees, and they think different things about Jesus. There's the blind man, what he thinks about Jesus, and even the disciples. Now, Jesus himself doesn't have an opinion. Because Jesus tells us in verse 39 that he has come to judge the world. So his judgment isn't going to be an opinion. It's going to be the last word. It's going to be right. Opinions are, you know, what we think about something when we know we might not be right. But Jesus is not like that. His word is going to be the final word about all of us. And one of the things he says that he's going to do while he's here in the world is that because of him, some people who are blind will see. But other people who think they see will actually turn out to be blind. And he's dealing with the Pharisees. And I always thought the name Pharisee is an ironic name in English. Far, I see. Because it turns out that the Pharisees can't see anything about Jesus at all. So it's kind of ironic. And this story then turns out to be whether we say that we see the truth about Jesus and that actually stops us from really seeing it, or whether we come to Jesus and admit that we can't see and we can't understand, and because of that he helps us to see. You know, are we people who see so that we've got the answers, or are we people who don't see and we need to come to him for the answers? Are we blind and we know we're blind, so we come to him for sight? Or do we think we see, we don't need help, and actually we're really blind? You know, that's what this chapter is all about. So what might stop us from seeing clearly, not just about Jesus, but about ourselves and about other people and so on. Well, the answer to that is assumptions. The assumptions that we all make. I think if you were to analyse the little puzzle about the racket and the ball, you'd see you made certain assumptions that led you to the wrong answer. But here in this chapter, people are full of assumptions. So let's look at a few of them quickly. The first one is in verse 2. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So the assumption here is that people suffer because they've sinned. That's a big assumption in Jesus' society. And you can see the Pharisees make the same assumption in verse 34. You were steeped in sin at birth. That's why you're blind. But it's wrong. It's a big assumption. We think we know how the world works, but it doesn't work like that. Jesus said it wasn't about that at all. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so the work of God might be displayed in his life. Here's another assumption in verse 9. Some claimed that he was the man born blind. Others said, no, he just looks like him. So there's an assumption there. You know, obviously he is the man born blind, but because he can see, it can't be him because miracles don't happen. That's the assumption. You know, you can't be blind and then see. That's a miracle. And it looks like him, but it can't be him because miracles don't happen. But they can. And the whole basis of the story is the miracle that Jesus did. And the man says, I am the man. He's shouting at them, I'm telling you, I can see. But I didn't used to see because Jesus had done a miracle. Here's another assumption in verse 16. This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. So the Pharisees have got a version of what godly people do on the Sabbath day, the special day of God. And Jesus is not doing what godly people do. He's working. He's healing people. And he shouldn't be working. So he can't be from God. Because if he was from God, he couldn't heal. Because God doesn't heal on the Sabbath day. Well, God just did. So their assumption was wrong too. Here's another assumption. Verse 17. What have you to say about Jesus, they asked the man, and he said, it was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. So there's another assumption. People who do miracles must be prophets. In other words, he's got a very narrow way of thinking about what Jesus could possibly be. He's got to be a prophet, because that's all I know. If you heal people, you're a prophet. Again, Jesus is a prophet, but he's so much more. Wrong assumption. Again in verse 29. Here's another assumption. We know that God spoke to Moses, the Pharisees say, but as for Jesus, we don't even know where he comes from. So you see what the Pharisees are doing there, is say, we don't even need to know the facts about Jesus to come to a conclusion about him. We don't even need to know where he comes from. They don't ask him. They don't say, Jesus, we think it's important that we know where you come from because Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. So where were you born? Well, it would be easier for them to do that, and Jesus would just say, well, actually, I was born in Bethlehem. But they don't do that. They don't even think they need to add to their knowledge to come to conclusions about Jesus. And, I mean, there's a lot of people in our society do that. They know absolutely virtually nothing about Jesus, but they've made up their minds about him. And we need to watch that we just don't do that. So lots of assumptions. Can you see already how assumptions make people blind? They come to wrong conclusions because they're blind, and they make major mistakes. And major mistakes about Jesus are very dangerous things, because as verse 41 says, if you were blind and you knew you were blind, you would ask for help and I would forgive your sins. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. Because of your assumptions, you think you know what's going on here and you're completely wrong. But because you assume you're right, and you assume your assumptions are right, you've made up wrong decisions about me, and your guilt remains. You're in trouble. You're guilty before God. You're carrying your own sin before God, because you haven't received me. So, making assumptions about Jesus because we're blind, because we don't really know ourselves. It's very dangerous. So again, just remember your little light in your head that, you know, looks out on the world. It's not really gonna take you very far. It's not going to take you very far when it comes to thinking about God and about Jesus. And we mustn't make the mistake of thinking that I already know enough. Just from that little light I have of what I've heard and what I've seen and what I've read and all the rest of it, that I already know enough to make up my mind about Jesus and about, you know, what God's doing in the world and all the things that were assumed here. Does he exist? Does he govern the world? What does he do? What are his purposes? Who is Jesus? And these kind of things. We mustn't just assume that we know the answer. We need to go back to ourselves and say, am I actually blind? Am I really actually blind to who Jesus is because I've made up my mind about him on the basis of some assumptions I got maybe at Sunday school long ago, or maybe from a television documentary you watched, or whatever it is? It's really something for us to think about very deeply. If we saw a blind man and we knew he was blind and we saw him rushing along the road running, what would we do? We think, he's crazy. He's a blind man. He can't see where he's going. He's going to fall. He's going to hurt himself. We maybe rush to help him. And that's what Jesus does with us here in the story and through his word. He's rushing in to help us today. Because often in our blindness we're stumbling and we're going to get hurt. And the worst hurt of all is to face God and not be ready to do so because we've rejected Jesus. Because we thought we saw, we made assumptions, we decided we knew enough information and we rejected Jesus on that basis, like some of the Pharisees do here. Dangerous things. We need to know ourselves. We need to know how little we know. Sometimes our assumptions are about our goodness, you know, about thinking that we're actually good people. Here's a few examples of that. So again, in verse 2, the disciples say, who sinned, Rabbi, that he was born blind? Now what's going on there is the disciples are assuming we don't need to think about our sins because we're not blind. But we can think about his sins and condemn him as having done sins, or his parents having done sins. And we do that very easily. We can talk about other people's sins and not look at our own, because we think others are worse. That's a bad assumption. That's a bad blindness. Another example, in verse 16. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath. And they carry that assumption through verse 24. They say, we know Jesus is a sinner, because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. And verse 28 again, we are disciples of Moses, so we're okay. We don't need to think about Jesus, because we follow Moses, and Moses says, you don't do this on the Sabbath. And actually, he didn't really say that, but we have decided that that's what he meant. And Jesus did this on the Sabbath, and he shouldn't have done, so we don't need to bother with Jesus because we are good guys who follow Moses. We don't need to think about our sins. Verse 34, here's another example. To the blind man, they say, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? You can see the arrogance there. Like, you see what the blind man has just said, verse 30, 31, 32, 33. There's a lot of truth in what he says there. But the Pharisees aren't listening, because this man was born blind. And because he's born blind, he must be a sinner. That's what they think. So, you're steeped in sin at birth. you can't teach us anything. That's a really bad attitude. Everyone can teach everyone else something. There's no one in this world that can't teach you something or can't teach me something. It's a great thing about our midweek Bible study, for example. We're all sitting on Zoom and we can see one another. And we're all, you know, just helping one another. Showing one another things. We can all help one another. We can all help one another to see better. We can all help one another. We can all learn from one another. And even the worst sinner can teach us something about our own sins. So we have to look at our assumptions, because our assumptions will blind us terribly. Just the comparisons that are being made here, the Pharisees comparing themselves with Jesus, comparing themselves with the blind man, and saying, well, we're better than they are because they sin. And look at their terrible sins, healing on the Sabbath day. We don't know what the blind man did, but he must have done something terrible to be blind. That's how they're thinking. And these assumptions are actually meaning that the ones that are blind are the Pharisees. They can't see, you know, they can't see the obvious thing. This man has just been healed by Jesus. This is a wonderful act of God. But they're so blind because of their own assumptions that they can't see. And, you know, we do this all the time. We hear on television all the time, you know, this person's an evil person because of all the crimes they've committed. So all the terrible things they did. And we think, yeah, terrible, terrible. And we don't look at ourselves. You know, because it doesn't really matter what we think about someone else. It does really matter what Jesus thinks about us. And, you know, if we say that we see, if we say that we see so we can say, you're evil, you're okay, you know, then we're blind. The fact is we all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We all need God's forgiveness, Jesus' help. But if we don't see that, if we're blind, then saying that we see, as verse 41 says, our guilt remains. Because we say that we can see, because we can condemn others, because we can say they're not doing what we think they should be doing, and that's a particularly evil person, we actually are blind to ourselves and to thinking about our own needs. Now I wonder if what we're doing just now is helping you, just helping me to see a little bit more about yourself, because God's got a lot to show you about yourself. Much, much more than I could tell you, or than you could tell yourself, or than anyone could tell you. There are things about you that God could show you that would absolutely shock you. So God's got a lot to show you. And what we should do is we should assume that we don't know anything and come to God. So like in verse 36, who is he, the Son of Man, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. That's a good attitude. I need help. I'm not seeing. I can see, now I can see the trees and the sun, but I can't see who the Son of Man is. So tell me, show me, help me. Great attitude. And Jesus tells him, that's me. Verse 38, he says, Lord, I believe. And the blind man, who was now seeing, worshipped Jesus. That's how it ends. When God shows us ourselves, that's how it ends. We end up bowing down in wonder and worship at the God who would still love us despite what we are, who is full of grace and mercy and kindness despite what we are. A few weeks ago in our study on the book Gentle and Lowly on Wednesday night, we had a quote from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and I thought it was excellent. Let me just read it to you. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, we are all on very good terms with ourselves. We're all on very good terms with ourselves, and we can always put up a good case for ourselves. You know, you see that whenever you get into a wee bit of a tiff with your husband or your wife or whatever, your family, you can put up a good defence for yourself. So, Lloyd-Jones says, even if we try to make ourselves feel that we're sinners, we'll never do it. Even if we try to turn on ourselves and say, actually, the Bible says I'm a sinner, so I'm going to try and see that. It doesn't work that way. There's only one way to know that we're sinners, and that is to have some dim, glimmering conception of God. That's what we need. And that's what happens in this story. Because Jesus reveals himself to this blind man as the Son of Man. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Now, you might say, well, what does Jesus mean there? And Jesus is speaking in a context where people, when they read what they called their Bible, or, you know, it was what we call the Old Testament. And there's one very prominent story in the Old Testament about someone called the Son of Man. And it's in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, and one of Daniel's visions. And this is what happens in the vision. In my vision at night, Daniel says, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. This Son of Man was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That's the Son of Man. And whether the blind man was aware of that story or not, that's what Jesus means. That's what he's telling this man. He's saying, remember Daniel? You remember that vision? And God, the Ancient of Days, is sitting upon his throne in awesome power. And into his presence comes another figure like a Son of Man, who's like a human being. Comes into his presence. And he's given all the power that there is. And people worship him. Funnily enough, verse 38, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Because the blind man who now saw Jesus, who had given him sight, and in Jesus saw, as Martin Lloyd-Jones says, a dim, glimmering conception of God. He got a glimpse of God. Because something incredible happened. Can you imagine it? You go in the pool of Siloam and you've got mud in your eyes and this is silly. You go into the pool and you splash water in your eyes. And you begin to be able to see. And you think, who is that man? And Jesus says, I'm the Son of Man. I've got all sovereign authority and power. And the blind man worships him. That's what we need. If you're going to see, you don't spend your time in self-help magazines and, you know, in just going round and round in circles trying to get the latest opinion or trying the latest fad, the latest fashion, the latest technique. Just try and see God. That's when your eyes will be open. And to see God, I just suggest just immerse yourself in the great stories of his word. You know, this happened, this story. And I wish I'd stood beside that pool and seen that man at that moment. Because I'm pretty sure that hairs in the back of my neck would have been going up as I saw him after a lifetime of blindness begin to see. What an experience. And in that, have a revelation of the glory of God who can heal a blind man. and get some glimmer of who God is and the power that he has. That's what we need. That's where I encourage you to spend time, so that you can really know yourself. Because when we see God, then we see ourselves. Instead of comparing ourselves with others, when we see God, we get a true sense of our size, our tininess, and our sinfulness, and our need, and our blindness. And that's when we can go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm blind. I'm blind to my own sin. I'm blind to who you are. I'm blind to my need of your forgiveness and mercy. I'm blind to my need of Jesus. Forgive me. Today I've seen a little glimpse of your glory. I know I can never ever stand before you as I am. I need your forgiveness and help. Save me. Have mercy upon me. That's the best possible outcome. Don't make assumptions then that you can see when you can. But seek to see the glory of God, that your eyes may truly be open to yourself and your need of him and his mercy.